Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today's lunch wrap is supposed to be with all of the American pastors. So if you're an American pastor, great to have you here. If you're a pastor in another part of the world, you are welcome to stay too. But we're going to share some thoughts. Pastor John Perkins is here from the Las Vegas Church. And we're going to hand the microphone to him, and have him share some thoughts with us to get us started. Pastor John.
So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the messages this morning. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the ability to get here and to be here. We're just so blessed. We're just so imparted with your life, encouraged, refreshed, challenged, cared for. We feel so valuable. We feel so lightened. Our load has been lightened a bit. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And we thank you. Now bless this this wrap, this time to once again hear other portions, other parts of the world, other parts of the United States. And we just thank you. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings from Lost Wages. Beautiful city of Las Vegas. We live in Henderson, which is a suburb of Las Vegas. The Las Vegas metro area is about 2 million people. We live in the Henderson portion. Pastor Love has been out there to visit a few times. Pastor, he's come out and been with a basketball 3-on-3 was the last time I think you were there. Bill Alexson's been there also. And so we've had some great visitations from Pastor Jason Moore has been there several times. Pastor Manny has been there, quite a few times. And every once in a while we'll get somebody coming in. Hey, my company's sending me out here. Can we get together with you? And that happens frequently. Las Vegas is a big convention town. It's a 24-hour city. There are many, many people there from different areas. I drive Uber as a means of supporting ourselves, and my wife over there is a massage therapist. So, and I don't get any massages, by the way. Cause she, God bless her, works hard and just, is a, the most important member of the team, actually. So, and then my daughter Kaylee also goes to a school there, and, we live in a nice area of the city. We're blessed in that way. Also, by the way, we just came back from Maine. And we ate lobster. Two big ones. No, just, and they were posted on Facebook. Oh, it was funny to hear that in the service today, because we had just experienced that. I had been waiting for 3 years to eat lobster, Pastor Love, and my dad made this big cookout, and I had these big old lobster, man. And then after I ate them, I was like, did I really? That wasn't that great, actually. But I would say probably with the convention, with this convention, it has been it's been amazing, because last year we had a lot of difficulties, and I was just thinking, like, the warfare. I think sometimes we and when we come to convention, we need to think that the devil does not want us to be here, for one, and he doesn't want us to hear the messages, for two, and any way he can possibly distract us, he will. And I just, you know, talking to parents and families and people that have traveled and spent money to be here, and the warfare, you know, you hear about this person getting sick and then this happening and this happening and this happening. And last year we had that. Last year was this year I came, like, and we started praying as soon as we went back. At least I did. I started praying. Because the intensity of the messages and the volume of what it's almost like Bible college condensed into like a week. And this can be life changing. A convention can change your life. And the resistance to that, we sometimes underestimate. Like the devil, he will throw everything. The kitchen sink, he will do it. He will want you to get offended by something. He will want you to get distracted. Because I was just thinking of when the little boy that was demon possessed, when Jesus said, "Bring him to me," that is when that little demon and that little boy went ballistic. And the devil hates it when we come here and we're not isolated, we're loved, we're cared for, we hear grace, we get encouraged, and we go back, you know, empowered and loved. And like Pastor Schaller, don't you, just thinking, like, he's so masterful in those meetings, isn't he? So amazing. And just to come and receive. So I just think, like, when you go back, start praying before you come again next year. Plan to come. We weren't going to come, by the way. We said, we don't have the money. We don't have the finances. And somebody we did not even know paid our way. I almost want to break down right here. I almost want to, like, fall before you and cry. Because we couldn't believe it. And God said, it's like, God said, "I want you to be there." You know? And it's invaluable. It's invaluable. So I think, you know, I think we need to put the armor on. Come. Be vigilant, be in prayer, have wisdom, check your thoughts, because he would love it if you got offended and went home. Or he would love it if you know, something didn't work out right and you got distracted. He would love that. And I just think, like, this time we had a wonderful time. It was free of those things. And we were available just to... And I said to my wife, I said, "I don't feel any kind of strangeness with anyone here. Anyone. Not even with myself." Because I can feel strange about myself sometimes. Amen? Isn't it true? We can be our own worst enemy and so just those thoughts, like, we think sometimes, "Oh, I'm going to come to convention. I'm going to drop the armor down. You know, I'm just going to come," and, you know, and the devil says, "Oh, that's a great way to think." No, come. Be aware of that. Be aware of these things. Be aware that he is the prince and the power of the air. And don't think that he took a vacation when you landed here in Baltimore. Actually, he stepped it up. He said, demons, dispatch. We don't want the Perkins family listening and hearing and getting anything from this. And so that's just my thought. And just one more thing I wanted to share when I prayed, I know this is a little bit selfish, but when I prayed, I said, God, when you give me that rental car, I want a good one. So when we landed in Maine, got this rental car, and it was this little, God bless, I don't mean to offend anybody, but it was a Kia. It was a little teeny, like, boxy thing, but it was good on gas. I said, God, really? Okay, I'll be content with this. This is awesome. So I was content. And then we came down here, and we went to get our rental car. Because I wasn't specific with God exactly which one. So when we got to Baltimore, the guy says, all we have is this Dodge Charger. Hemi, 5.7 liter engine. Are you okay with that? My daughter goes, yeah. And my wife goes, no, we don't need that. I said, honey, we outvote you here. She's with me on this one. Usually I'm outvoted. So I had this Hemi, it's amazing. So I've been enjoying that. So I came into the wrap the other day. I came into Fellowship Hall. Pastor Shabelli and Pastor Stan were out front. So I pulled up and I just let it rip. Pastor Shabelli goes, they're praying inside. Oh man. So I pulled over and, got a little bit of rebuke there. And then I went inside and Pastor Shabelli was inside. So he comes, come here. I said, oh man, I'm in trouble now. So I walked over and he whispered in my ear. He goes, I like your little childlike excitement about that car. And it totally released me. I was like, oh, this is God. This is God. And I was just thinking, like, isn't that how God is with us? He loves our joy. It's like in the meeting today, the love really, Pastor Schaller put it so well. It's like we see the best. We see that we look and we say, you know what? We're going to be okay. Because God is in control. He's on the throne. Do you think that he will ever stop blessing us and his work? Do you think that he will ever stop blessing Baltimore? It's a work of God. It's a work of God. And I'm so privileged, and I don't want to take it for granted, of this ministry. And just in Vegas, we have a small church. As we've been taught, there's nothing small. Don't despise the small day of small things. But I have some guys that I'm working with and discipling. We have some great group of, small group of great people. And it is so amazing, like, of all that we've been imparted with and taught and learned and received. And, by the way, live in it. As we are able to, and then like to hear somebody say with brokenness to you from your church, Pastor, thank you. I love this message. Thank you for loving me. To hear it, just to hear it from one person, is amazing. You go, wow, hallelujah. At least I'm doing maybe something right, So that's just what I wanted to share.
Beautiful. Thank you. Wow. I drive a little Kia. And I'm offended.
Well, mine's a rental, so it's okay.
So if you hear somebody tearing through the parking lot this week, it's him in his fast car. Great. Pastor Tom from Virginia, want to share some thoughts with us? This is Pastor Tom. His ministry is in Culpeper, Virginia.
That was awesome. A lot of the same thoughts I was having, the same spirit. And isn't that how it's been this week with the people, the same spirit? And I don't know, I just, the thought of the little demon-possessed girl when the demons saw Jesus and they're going crazy. And then, like, they're going to convention, release the demons. You know, I was thinking of that, and I was thinking I watched the movie a couple of years ago, and I hadn't read the book in like 28 years. But anybody ever read the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? And I read the book was in my house, and I read it a couple of days ago or a week ago or so. And one of the things that Aslan said was that the witch didn't know the deep magic from before time began. The more excellent way that's existed before time began. The witch didn't know it, you know. And he laid down his life and died on the table, you know. And then he rose again. The witch didn't know that. You know, you think of all the demons being released at the cross. And what did they think they were doing? They didn't know the deep magic. You know, what God was doing on the cross. For us, it's a more excellent way than she could ever imagine, you know. And I was just thinking that you know, like all these demons released and all, but then we step in and the body builds itself up in love. There's a more excellent way that steps in over and above any demonic attack that can happen, and the anointing breaks the yoke. And we know, how could I even consider not coming here? You know, it's like amazing. And I was thinking too, like, it's not a perfect analogy, but like the lady with the loss of blood, if you can just get here and touch the hem of his garment, you know, and it's like how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil running down the beard of Aaron and dripping all the way down the hem of his garment. And we touch the hem of his garment and oil comes off on us. And we have it. And when he stepped out of that car and he came into Pastor Shabelli, he did not come to Mount Sinai. Right? He didn't die. He came to Mount Zion where the blessing is. And that's where we are. And I just love that.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. If you're going to go on outreach, it's leaving right now out front.
Yeah, out front. And they'll come back at 3:30.
They'll be back at 3:30. So you'll be leaving now back at 3:30. Anyone that's going to head out on outreach. Oh, there's one air-conditioned bus, so if you're going to go, get out there and get on that one. Okay. What a great thought. You know, the woman, if she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, probably for a lot of people, that sums up the convention, right? If I can just get there, if I can just by faith reach out and touch the hem of his garment, so to speak, and receive that power, that healing, that mercy, that grace. You know, I was thinking that the great temptation for all of us as the convention draws to a conclusion in all of these messages that we've heard, and there's so many of them, and it's hard to even categorize them in your mind. okay, you know, who said, you know, people have come up to me and they said, oh, I love what you said the other night on this, and it was like, that wasn't me. But I said, thank you very much. But there's just so many messages, and we try to connect the message with the person who shared it with us, and there's so many thoughts. So you kind of have to go back, and maybe you'll revisit those messages again online, listen to them again, because they were so rich and there's so many portions. But again, the temptation is to want to leave here and to say, okay, all right, I got to start loving. I got to love, you know, I got to be patient, I got to be kind, I got to endure, I got to bear all, you know. You just, and here's the thing. Remember, don't spend a lifetime trying to create a love or that you want to reproduce. Spend a lifetime receiving a love that you can't resist. His love. Okay, because again, the natural makeup of all of us says, all right, I've heard it all. I'm going to walk out these doors back to our homes, back to our ministries, back to our churches, and I'm going to do those things. No, you just want to keep reaching out and touching the hem of his garment. You just want to keep reaching out and saying, Lord, you know, the last thing Pastor Schaller shared this morning before he closed, I'm just going to let you love me. Because sometimes that's all we have a capacity for, is to just let God love us. And when you think about it, in Romans chapter 13, Paul talking about the law, and he said, in verse 8, he says, don't owe any man anything but to love them. For he that loves the other person has fulfilled the law. And think about how true that is. Because if you love someone, you're not going to steal from them. If you love someone, you're not going to, you know, covet them or their wife. If you love someone, you know, you're not going to harm them. You're going to honor them. You're going to respect them. And then verse 10 says, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, here it is, love is the fulfilling of the law. Everything that the law asked of people would be fulfilled if we would only live in love. And we have that opportunity. We have that available to us. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit, not us, we can't generate this. We can't work this up. But the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. Wow. That's what we need. We need that love to be poured in so that that love can pour out. We need courage, and we've had it all week long, to be poured in so that courage can be poured out. You can't give grace unless you first receive grace. So again, it just always starts, you know. And I love what Pastor Boyce shared yesterday, you know. Because I was thinking that, you know, this is Corinth. Okay, these are the Corinthians. That city was the city of debauchery. It was, you know, it was just, they called it a drunkard's haven, and a moral woman's nightmare. The city of Corinth, and there's a church there. And Paul, think about it, he is dealing with all of those problems, right? Party spirits, celebrity spirits, division, strife, carnality. Believers taking fellow believers before unjust magistrates, you know, hauling each other into court to settle their differences. Sexual sin, Paul said, that you don't even hear of in the world, but it's in the church. And the list just goes on and on and on and on. One problem after another. And you know what his, answer is? 1 Corinthians 13. How are we going to do? Because as I love what Pastor Boyce said. Paul, give us a manual. Tell us what to do. Here are all the problems. give us all the solutions. And what does he do? He writes 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he says, there's your answer to conflict. There's your answer to party spirits. There's your answer to those of you that are thinking about hauling your brother or sister before an unjust magistrate. There's your answer. There's your answer to the man in this horrible sexual sin. And he says, there's your answer. I mean, all week long we've heard about it, the more excellent way. We know what it is. And we just have to say, Lord, you know, I don't want to leave. And it happened in Ephesus. I don't want to leave my first love. Because our first love is not... Oh, I remember, we say, when somebody talks about first love, we say, oh, yep, I remember those days when I really loved God. I was so excited, I was so motivated, I was so determined, I was so dynamic, I was so dedicated. It's not first love. First love is God loving you perfectly. And John wrote to the church at Ephesus and he says, don't leave that first love. Because if you do, you'll lose all of your motivation and your desire to live this life that pleases God. A life motivated, constrained, compelled by the love of God. And again, I just love that. I love that beautiful picture. Nothing helped this woman. She spent everything she had. It says that she got worse. And isn't that usually the way it is? We usually, we try everything and we attempt to do everything until finally we can do nothing except just by faith reach out. As long as we have resources, we use those resources to help ourselves or better our situation. That woman did. The prodigal son did. As long as he had money in his pockets, he had lots of friends. As soon as the money was gone, his friends became pigs, right? And then he says, I will arise. I will go to my father. Because there cannot be a more misnamed parable in the Gospels. We call it the prodigal son. That's not the story of a prodigal wandering son. That's the story of a loving, loving father. It's one of those misnamed parables. That's the story of the loving, loving father who's just anticipating and waiting for his wayward son to return. Because that's what the story is all about. His father's love. That's what our story is all about. Our father's love. And it's never going to change. It's never going to change. So again, don't leave and say, I'm going to reproduce that kind of love. No, just resolve to receive that love that you can't resist it. You can't resist it. When you keep hearing about it, it fills you, it frees you, and it gives you a capacity to, I love that, the fulfillment of the law. It's like when God gave the law to the children of Israel. Remember their response? He gave them the law and they said, oh my gosh, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And so you can just imagine God saying, oh, you idiots. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Oh, no. This do and live the law commands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. A better word the gospel brings, bids me fly and gives me wings. There's the difference between the two. You can't do it. But if they cried out, instead of saying, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. If they cried out and they said, Lord, we can't do that. Couldn't you just love us? You know what he would have said? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, up until that time, what did he say he did for them? I carried you on eagle's wings. That's like saying, at that point, that's like the children of Israel saying, okay, we'll take it from here. we got it now. No. We just have to let him keep loving us. Amen? Amen. Yes, Kobe.
I'm thinking that...
You don't want to go anywhere. It's 95 degrees out there. It's going to be close to 100 tomorrow. So, it's incredible. That's without the heat index. This is cool for Las Vegas, they were saying. It's like Pastor John and his wife and family, they'll be wearing sweaters tomorrow. Anybody else have anything you want to share? Thought, comment, question? Let me ask you a question. How many of you are tired? Like exhausted? Yeah, okay, some yeah, it's a long week, isn't it? Catches up with you. You know people are tired when last night my grandchildren, and you know the kids, they don't want to miss anything. You know, they don't want to stay, they want to stay here all day, all night, don't want to miss anything. You know, it's midnight, let's go. Well, you know, something could happen at 1 o'clock in the morning, I need to be here. So they don't, but last night, I mean, I think like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, they just went to their mother and they said, "We want to go home, we're tired." And they're young. You know, so it can kind of catch up with you throughout the week, right? Anybody have a comment, question, thought that they'd like to share? Maybe something that spoke to you this week. I know everything did, but something in particular.
Pastor Shaw said you can sleep later.
That's right. Pastor Shaw said you can sleep later. Amen. Yes, Michelle?
Want to use this?
Wow. Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? Yes.
Okay. Nope, you're good.
I also love that. I've heard that before. And when you're out like away from Baltimore, like we are, sort of like we feel kind of like a lonely outpost a little bit out there. You think like, well, Pastor Schaller, when he did that too. He had trouble. We always think like, oh, no, he doesn't have any problems, you know, look at him, you know. But actually he did, and that's pretty extreme. And I'm thinking like, gee, couldn't he have picked up the phone and emailed, or he didn't have email in those days, but if sent a letter or something. But just his the thinking behind it, and just the way that he you know, dealt with it. I'm sure people on the team were like questioning everything, you know. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe. But it just really, like, it really speaks a lot, doesn't it? It speaks a lot to me. Like, wow, you know. And whenever you go to him or you talk to him, like counseling, he's so good at counseling. If you don't even, like, it probably a lot of people might go to him, but we try to get together with him when we're here, you know, just to get a word. When we were here last time, we were here a couple of Sundays ago, my wife said, "We got to go to him." I'm like, "I got everything under control. Don't worry about it." "No, we're going to go to him." And what was that message today? "No, I won't. No, I won't." Wasn't it? And we went, and it was just a word for us. It was amazing. And we didn't have a place at the time. We were actually meeting in a school. We had to set up, tear down, set up, tear down, all of that. And then my wife and, you know, my wife, by the way, she's right back there. God bless her for putting up with me. She said, "No, we need a place. We need a permanent place. We need a place to call home." And we went to him, and we've been looking too, all over the place. Everything was too expensive. Everything was just way beyond our reach. And we went to him, and he said, "Okay, let's do this." And he wrote on a napkin, "And this is what we'd like to see happen. We need a place that we can call our own, that we can meet at." And we took the napkin with us. And he said, let's give it a couple weeks and see what happens. Within 2 weeks, God is our witness. In 2 weeks, we had a place. And it was reasonable and perfect for us. It was amazing. Like, just going to the leadership, you know, humble yourself. In the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. And we just see miraculous things. Every week we can pay the rent. I mean, every month we have enough for the rent. And God is like for us. He's for us, you know. And I think Pastor Jeff back there and Robin are they're having their first church service today. Or they're planting a church in Perry Hall today. Is that okay to say that, Pastor Jeff? By God's grace. Maybe we could just say a prayer for that today, huh? Because he's going to... Pastor Jeff, he's an awesome man of God. He really is. He's a great friend, too. We always come and we're with them when we're here. And can we just say a prayer about that? Is that okay, Pastor Love? So, Father, we just lift up Pastor Jeff and Robin. Great, awesome. And their family, too. Great, awesome couple. Lord, they're planting a church in Perry Hall. And we just ask, God, that you would bless that. Open up doors for them. Divine appointments, disciples, a covering over their marriage, because their marriage can be under attack at times. Also for the family, God. And we just thank you for their lives. Thank you, God, that you would anoint them for that. Give them faith, rest, and like Pastor Love said, it's not our ability, it's his ability. It's love produces, right? Love produces a change. And so we thank you and we ask you to bless that in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, any final thoughts, comments? Yes, Courtney. Thank you, Courtney. Great testimony. Thank you. Anyone else before we close? Yes, Yvonne. Amen. It's beautiful. Yes, Pastor Jim. Speak nice and loud so we can all hear you. Someone said, why is it, you know, why is this the Spirit of God so personal? Why is it so intense? And I believe that it's because of prayer. Much prayer has come before this convention. And now we just are seeing the fruit of it, the answer from God in people's lives. And, I mean, there's nothing, you know, it's not like we could look at they do an outstanding job here, everyone at the church, the staff and the administration. But, you know, it's not like we made changes or we made some corrections or we did things better than we have. No, it's that we just kept praying and asking God and praying and asking God. And we're just seeing God answer our prayers. And it's beautiful. All right. Well, thank you for coming out this afternoon. And tonight, 7:00 for the final service, the healing service. And the ordination tonight should be fun. It's going to be a great time. Thank you all. Father, we're just so grateful to be here. So grateful to be the objects of your great, eternal, unchanging, unconditional, everlasting love. Continue to pour it into our lives. Continue to have us look to it and look for it. And we just thank you for loving us. Just the way we are, and loving us so much that you're not going to leave us that way. Your love changes us, and we're grateful for that. Bless this day. Keep everybody safe and hydrated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.